Hello, West Liberty. This is Mason. You're listening to WGLZ. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. On the call with me this evening is Jesse Tyler Ridgway. Jesse is a well-known YouTube content creator and actor. In 2017, Jesse released his own content platform, StoryFire, where he continues to post videos. Jesse is the creator of many popular series on YouTube and StoryFire, including the Psycho series, My Virtual Escape, and The Devil Inside, along with so much more. Jesse, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on here.
My pleasure. For the first half, we're going to focus on YouTube and your love for acting. What was something that happened in your life that made you want to become an actor?
My big inspiration for acting was always dramatic, serialized television. Watching Lost, Prison Break, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead over the years really kind of inspired me because I loved the camaraderie of all the cast members. All the crew, they were all working together as a team, helping put on this creative production. And I felt so many things watching some of my favorite shows that it made me want to do that same thing. And I also like the idea of being somebody else. I thought, like, I'm a blank slate. I would love to pretend to be somebody else. And I would always kind of play around with stuffed animals and pretending to be characters in my own head, except I never actually got to act them out. So acting to me seemed like a great vehicle to kind of be able to be free with who I am and who I want to be.
What made you want to start pursuing YouTube in the first place?
For YouTube was kind of started as a curiosity. I was one of the first creators on the platform in 2006. It was barely a video site because it had transitioned from a dating platform way back in the day. And I was only 14 years old. So I heard that you could put out a video and it would be seen by hundreds of people on the internet. I'm like, well, that's interesting. So as a 14-year-old who just messed around with a video camera, I would film like my brother and his friends skateboarding. I'm like, hey, maybe there's something here. And I put out some of my first like Halo Machinima related content then.
Tell me about some of your first works on YouTube that I didn't mention at the beginning, and how did they set the framework for the works that I did mention?
So originally, when I was doing YouTube, I treated it as a hobby, and then it was just became a showcase of, at first, machinima content, which was basically using video games to tell a story and play out a skit or a narrative of some kind. But then eventually worked up the courage to do real life stuff. And some of the works that weren't mentioned, like such as Overachievers, The Game, Rule 19, these were series that kind of predated any notoriety, any fans on YouTube. This was just my way of exercising my creative passion for storytelling. And it was all I had access to because I hadn't gone out to Hollywood or, even New York City. I had dabbled a little bit in trying to appear in mainstream or traditional productions, but I wanted to have my own creative outlet. And so YouTube kind of became that. And doing these series really helped hone my skill in terms of how to do episodic format content on YouTube. Granted, I was making it for myself and just to make a show, and I wasn't considering the business side or the marketing side and how to tap into algorithms and all these things and how to be noticed. It wasn't until later that I kind of blended my creative storytelling, which that set the framework for, with kind of a more clickbaity, marketed way of storytelling, which kind of became the Psycho series.
At this point, before you even started the Psycho series, how many subscribers did you have, roughly? Like, what was your audience?
For 8 years, I generally had around 400, 200 to 400 subscribers.
So you're
And then it
diehard
wasn't
fans.
until exactly in 2012 to 2014, it was maybe around a few thousand subscribers. And then 2014, the shredding Sega Dead Shreds video games went viral, and then we just kept following up with hit after hit, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. But yeah, the first 200 subscribers for those 8 years were family members, some, like a few accounts, friends of mine, as well as people that I went to, like people that knew me in high school. I would randomly get a subscriber, so I was not really being seen by anyone outside of like my network.
But it wasn't until Psycho Dad Shreds video games when you really started blowing up.
Correct. Psycho Dad Destroys Xbox, the first Psycho video we did, which was parodying the freakout genre. That didn't go viral, but it did start to pick up views over time. And then we did a second video where, you know, my brother broke my camera and freaked out. That picked up views over time, accessing a laptop, but it wasn't until the shredding that then it kind of went straight up.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back with Jesse right after this. Welcome back, West Liberty. If you're just tuning in, I talked with Jesse about some of his early days getting into starting YouTube and acting. Now we're going to talk about his own platform, StoryFire. Jesse, when did the idea of making StoryFire originate?
StoryFire kind of was brought to my doorstep by Brian Spitz, who we had did a documentary film together showing kind of how we did the Psycho series on YouTube over the few years and the struggles behind telling that big immersive story. He said, "Hey, Jesse, look, you know, we're friends now. I have this idea for a platform to where it's short stories around a campfire. Your fans are super geared towards storytelling. They're kind of helping you with ideas in the comments, whether they realized it or not. And we should put that and pull all that creative energy into a platform." And I was like, "I'm down, let's do it." And that's kind of how StoryFire was born. And then it's only evolved over time because of the adpocalypse on YouTube. Creator ad revenues were dropping by 90%. We needed another place, another platform that would honor creative integrity, creative freedoms. And so then we built out video, and it keeps evolving with each passing year.
So it was originally his idea. Was there any idea in your head at all before meeting Brian that you wanted to do this someday?
It was never a realistic idea. I had toyed with the thought. I think every artist or even every person goes through the same arc. You start off as kind of an employee and then work your way up till eventually maybe you own your own company. And the same could be said as a creator. As a creator, eventually when you get to the point where maybe you're not creating, but you're a manager and you're helping smaller creators create their thing. So it was always like a funny, entertaining, like, you know, maybe I'll have my own platform. And you see a couple of the YouTubers trying to have their own independent platform or at least a fan subscribed service of some kind. So it was always kind of more of a joke to me. It wasn't until Brian came to me with like a knowledge from the tech side that I was like, okay, oh, this is a real possibility. Now I'm interested. Yeah.
What was the time frame between the idea and actually starting to develop it?
So the idea of StoryFire originated in, I believe it was November of 2016. And Brian came to me with an idea. We talked about it over the phone because he's based in LA and I'm in Jersey, since just moved. But he came out December 2016. We had shot a series together where he played an elf for Christmas, a Christmas series. And he's like, "Hey, let's do it." And so we signed some paperwork. StoryFire, the company, was born. And then following that, the first, I'd say, 6 to 7 months of 2017, we were developing the MVP, which would be the minimum viable product, which is like the very first version of StoryFire. And then it was that summer that we released it. So there was from the idea, the conception of the idea, to the first version of release was right around, I'd say, 8, maybe 9 months, just like an actual baby.
What were some of the things that went into developing StoryFire?
A lot of money went into developing StoryFire. Creating any kind of technology-based platform, company, what have you, it's very expensive. Anything in tech is going to be expensive. Developers are very well paid. So a lot of money went towards development, design. There was fortunately no marketing spend. However, it was a lot of me marketing and pushing to my own audience to download StoryFire, to get the platform, to start using it. A lot of creative research time, a lot of time spent looking at other platforms, comparing it to other platforms, and Brian and I having just, you know, 6 hour long conversations, just being like, all right, what do we actually want on the platform? What are the features? How do we develop it? What other technology sets are we using? It was a lot of time, money, energy over consistent amounts of time.
What can people do on StoryFire for those who don't know?
On StoryFire, it is a hybrid platform. There's a lot going on. You can do social posts similar to Twitter. We have an in-app currency called Blaze that you can actually earn through tips through those same social posts. So if somebody likes what you posted, they can tip you Blaze. We're very close to finishing development of a cash out feature to where you can cash out all that Blaze for US dollars. We have our whole video functionality on the platform. So it's very much YouTube, Twitter, and a little bit of Patreon that we're building all in one. And we have a Wattpad as well. So we have writing functionality. You can write short stories. You can write group stories. Our video, we have a comment section. We have direct messaging. There is a lot going on in the platform. And basically, we're trying to aggregate as much as all the platforms. As a creator, it's annoying having to post to 8 different platforms, keep tabs on all of them. Is just pull it all into one app, StoryFire.
And how can people start creating like videos on the platform? Because I know it's not anyone can just go on there right now and do it.
Correct. So on StoryFire, we do have an application process, and that helps us keep costs down low. It also allows us to monitor quality, because a lot of people don't understand that YouTube has hundreds of millions of hours of porn, killings, murders, you name it, uploaded to the platform every day. And they have teams that go through and sift all that out. And they have bots that kind of come through that. So our system's application based, and it's competitive, and it's exciting. It's kind of like a project Greenlight, where, you know, we get 10,000 applications a month. We weed through, find the best of the best. They get approved for video, and then can work their way up to earning ads and can earn revenue through that. But we're greenlighting more and more series each month. For those interested, anyone can post to a social feed on StoryFire. Anyone can DM. Anyone can write a story, group story. Anyone can comment on videos. But in order to get the coveted uploadability, you got to submit a trailer. You got to submit a synopsis, a summary of what your series is going to be, or pilot. Send us a pilot episode. We're very open. We're very open to not even just series. It can be a playlist or a genre that you're passionate about. And then, if we like the sizzler reel, if we like the pilot or whatever, you know, we'll get in touch and we'll say, hey, you're greenlit, and then we'll put you on the platform.
How is StoryFire different from YouTube, and why should people choose your platform to create?
Now, originally StoryFire, I have some crazy guerrilla marketing that, like, I'll be like, it's the best YouTube, whatever. It in so many ways, it's not. I don't even like labeling it as a YouTube competitor. And it's even hard for me to say that any of these platforms are competitors. They're all fighting for attention, but ultimately most people use all the platforms. I upload to 7 different things. I think it's important for everyone to be platform agnostic across the board. And then you can say the same for consoles too, you know, PlayStation, Xbox, like it's all good, you know? But for StoryFire, we do have better ad revenue percentages. So we do 70-30 with the creator once you unlock ads, and the same with a Blaze. YouTube does not have Blaze. So we allow you to have set price tags on your content. You're doing a more premium video, you're putting more money down, you can set Blaze as a paywall, and fans can easily access that because they can earn Blaze through the app. So Blaze exists on StoryFire. It's a really cool way to earn extra revenue. Our revenue splits are more generous. YouTube's 45-55. Like I said, we're 70-30. You do have complete creative freedom. For me, if I curse in a video on YouTube, my entire channel is not only restricted, but it also is low-key shadow banned, to where a lot of younger generation, they try to access my content, they can't, or I'm just not going to show up and recommend it because YouTube's going to promote their more brand-friendly, higher ad dollar videos across the board. So I'm not going to have access to my same discoverability I had 3, 4, 5 years ago, because they've gotten so much more mainstream and corporate. StoryFire is kind of more rebellious in nature, and we encourage artistic creative integrity. So for somebody who wants to be a little more edgy in a video, as long as it serves a greater purpose and greater context for narrative, that's something we support. So creative freedom is a huge, huge difference over on the fire. And we have social functionality that YouTube doesn't have. YouTube doesn't have a social feed or any kind of good social aspects. And then, we also have direct messaging, which YouTube has gotten rid of. They no longer have messaging. And we have all our written stories and everything, which writing is a super huge component to our platform and storytelling in general. YouTube does not have that as well.
I'd like to thank Jesse or McJugger Nuggets for allowing me to interview him tonight. You've been listening to WGLZ, and let's get back to the music.